Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Knows the Pac-12 conference and a whole lot more. Terrific follow on social media. Good storyteller. Ashley Adamson, Pac-12 Network, joining us from Salt Lake City. Is that where you are?
Yeah, I am in my hotel room in Salt Lake City. It's a beautiful day, and it's the first time I've been back here in about 2 years. So it's nice to be back. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I dropped the oldest daughter off at college. You know this. You sent me a note, and I appreciate that. And you'll be going through this one day yourself.
Yeah. I've got a little bit of time, but as everyone reminds me, it goes fast. So yeah, no, I mean that when I ask you how you are. Like, how are you actually doing? How are you handling post-drop-off?
You know what? No one told me is after you drop them off, it's kind of sad, but they're not sad. They're really excited. And so you have to kind of like not be selfish and go, I'm excited for you. And then you drive away and then you worry about like, did I teach her how to use the bike lock right? Does she know what to do if she gets a flat tire? Is her meal card going to work? And so you should just be sedated for like 24 to 48 hours as a parent until someone tells you she's fine. She called me yesterday. She's enjoying her classes. She went bowling with her friends. And I got glassy-eyed hearing that because I'm like, she's good. And I didn't really worry about her after that call.
Good. Sounds like she's off and running. And yeah, it's way harder. Everything about parenting is way harder on the parents than it is on the kids. I think we just all need to remember that. So glad you guys are surviving and that she's thriving.
Tell us what you're doing in Salt Lake, because I understand Nick Aliotti, Nigel Burton are also on their way there. What are you guys doing? You got your studio show being live from the stadium, or what are you doing?
Good intel. Yeah, Nick and Nigel will be with me, and we have our pregame roadshow that we are really happy to be back after obviously not traveling any last year. We're hitting all 12 campuses, so we were at Oregon week one, we were at Washington State week two, we were actually back in San Francisco studios last week because we had 7 games on our air. But we are now back on the road, and we're at Utah tomorrow. We'll have our tailgate. We've got a new tailgate show that's 30 minutes that leads into our pregame coverage. So, yeah, if you want to check it out, we start at, I guess it's 10:30. I'm really bad with Pacific and Mountain time, so make sure I get this right. It's 10:30 a.m. Pacific time tomorrow. We'll be on the air with the tailgate, and then we'll right into the pregame show. So, yeah, it's fun. Previous years, we've been out kind of in the tailgate areas. This year, because we're trying to go to as many of the games that we have actually on our air, we're inside the stadium, which has been really awesome. It's been fun to kind of get the energy and juice. Seeing Nick Aliotti on the sideline of a game right before it starts is something that I wish everyone could experience. So, yeah, it's been good to be back.
Ty Jordan, sad story, tragic story, Utah running back. You've been on this story for a while. You've been close with his family. Are you preparing something in your coverage about Ty Jordan?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking about that. We, obviously when Ty Jordan passed away last Christmas, I had been talking to people at Utah and just said, let us know how we can help tell his story and share his legacy, whatever the family is comfortable with, whenever they are comfortable with. If they want to talk, let us know. And, you know, fast forward 9 months, they are invited out for the season opener, the game against Weber State. And it was a really emotional night. We had that game on our air. It was a Thursday night game. And they had a couple of really unbelievable tributes planned. One was like the Portal 22. So they turned Section 22 of the stadium at Rice-Eccles into sort of a Ty Jordan memorial. And then they had in the third quarter, which I thought was just brilliant, instead of a moment of silence, which is how you typically would honor someone, because Ty Jordan never got to play in front of the home crowd, they played this tribute video voiced by Kyle Whittingham, and they asked for everyone to have a moment of celebration and loudness in honor of Ty. And it's going to be something that they're going to do all season long at home games in the third quarter break. And after that game, we had, you know, we saw a lot of the footage of the family and just how emotional it was and how, you know, happy and bittersweet and all of it from just far you could tell. So I reached out to Utah again and just said, hey, would they be, they want to talk about that experience, let us know. And Jeff Rudy, the director of football, put me in touch with Tyzant. And I flew out to Dallas last week and was able to meet with his aunt and his stepmom and his brother. And it was one of the more intense, you know, days of my career, and really meaningful and really special. And I thank them a million times for opening up their home and sharing, you know, their thoughts on Ty and who he was and the impact that he had. And I will say that the thing that has struck me the most out of all of this is that in our careers, you end up being around some tragic situations. There have been teams that have lost teammates and, you know, people dealing with different family tragedies, but I have never seen before a family so uplifted by what a team and a program and a university and a fan base has done for them in the wake of a tragedy. And that was the thing. All three of them who I spoke with were at a loss for words and how to thank not just what the Utah football program has done and the way that they have shown up in every single way, but the way that the fans have made them feel. And his brother said, you know, look, it feels like I don't feel alone because I feel like there are all these people who I didn't even know who feel the same way about Ty that I felt. So it was just really, an emotional story, and we're going to have it tomorrow on the pregame show. And it's one of those ones that every now and then you get a chance to share something that feels like it really matters, and this certainly falls into that category.
Ashley Adamson, our guest, Pac-12 Network. You can see her there anchoring and reporting. Ashley, Utah has not looked like Utah this season. They're getting pushed around a little bit. What is going on with Kyle Whittingham's team?
Yeah, we actually just got out of meetings with him, and he certainly has not been happy with the offense. He said that's kind of the thing. We're not pointing fingers. That's not what we do, but it's the offense that hasn't been able to find its rhythm. Now, the interesting thing will be, it obviously all starts with the offensive line, and they feel like they finally have the right combination of the five guys that they want in there, and that was who was playing at the end of the San Diego State game and gave him some spark. But the biggest thing, the storyline, obviously, is the change at quarterback. They were pretty stunned when Charlie Brewer decided to leave on Monday. But he said that it's just been unbelievable this week. The team has really rallied behind Cam Rising. I mean, he was elected a captain even after he didn't win the starting job in camp. So that tells you everything you need to know about sort of the character that he is and the relationship that he has with the guys in the locker room. But I'll tell you what, from afar, it feels like this could be something that could really sort of galvanize the offense. It feels like turmoil that your starting quarterback leaves the program all of a sudden after getting benched and losing his starting job. But knowing the relationships that Cam has, seeing kind of the spark that he brought last week when he came in, this team loves him. And Kyle Whittingham said they've just had a lot of extra juice and enthusiasm, and he's loved what he's seen in practice. So we'll see. I mean, they're playing against a Washington State team that has plenty of issues of their own, no question. And everybody remembers what happened when these two teams met last year. And Washington State jumped out to a huge lead, and Utah came back and scored 38 unanswered. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. But Utah needs to get some offense going and going early.
I was surprised Brewer left, because I even thought, like, okay, he got benched, but he gets back into practice, or maybe 2 weeks from now, or, you know, how quarterbacking goes in the league,
yeah,
in this league. Like, there's an opportunity for him there. Did you get a sense that Brewer just cleaned his locker out and took off, or was there a long discussion with Andy Ludwig and Kyle Whittingham about, you know, where he fits with the program?
You know, I don't think, you know, I didn't ask that question directly, but from how I understand it, he came in on Monday, once I think he understood what the situation was, told Kyle that he wanted to leave. Whittingham said, hey, why don't you sleep on it? This is a really big decision. Why don't you just tell me tomorrow if you still feel the same way? And he came back Tuesday morning, said, yep, still feel the same way, and was out of there. So I think, you know, it's a feeling of, well, it's the exact opposite of what you, different case study, the opposite of what we saw with Cam Rising, right? So Cam comes in, passed away to redshirt year because he didn't get an NCAA waiver, wins the starting job the first year that he can compete, gets hurt in the season opener on the first, I think it was the opening series that he played in, he's rehabbing like crazy to get back. They bring in a grad transfer twice that he's battling with. And now he loses a starting job, but has never wavered. You know, Kyle Whittingham said he's just, his attitude has been unbelievable this whole time. And he's just been the joy in the locker room, and he's got leadership. He's like that alpha dog that you kind of look for at that spot. And Andy Ludwig said something that made me laugh. He said, you know, the thing that's one of the things I love about him is the cadence and sort of the command he has of the huddle. He said, when he calls a play, even if it's a terrible play, like the way that he calls it, you believe in it because of the way he says it. He's like, which is what I need. So yeah, I think they're excited about him. And it was really even, it sounded like, from everything that I heard in camp between him and Charlie Brewer. So yeah, but needless to say, they were shocked and surprised and did not see it coming that Charlie was going to bounce that quickly.
Ashley Adamson, Pac-12 Network with us. Oregon, they have Arizona this week. Oregon State's going to USC, where they haven't won in 61 years. I feel like USC is a little vulnerable. I picked the Beavers in this one. Do I look stupid? Do I look crazy? You know, how do you see that USC-Oregon State game?
Yeah. I mean, I think trying to pick Pac-12 wins and losses, you can look stupid and crazy no matter what you pick on any given week, probably ahead of time. But no, I think that I really am excited about Jonathan Smith's team. I think, you know, this will be certainly a really big test. And I think Chance Nolan, this will be the first chance that you kind of wonder, and this is no knock on Sam Noyer, but you sort of wonder what would have happened if Chance had been starting against Purdue in week one. But yeah. I really love what I've seen from them. And I think that there's just a good vibe around that squad, it feels like, right now. And USC, yeah, they've certainly got plenty of their own stuff going on and some quarterback issues and some injuries and all the rest. So it has been a very long time. You said, what, 61 years since they went to the Coliseum and won a game? But nothing would surprise me in 2021, and it certainly wouldn't surprise me, though, if the Beavs were able to find a way to pull one out down to Coliseum.
How, you know, I look at Oregon's path, too, and, you know, you might pick Oregon to win every week. They probably will be favored in every week. But it is so hard to go undefeated in this league. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, well, part of it is 9 conference games. I think the stat is that there hasn't been a conference team that has gone undefeated since the Ducks did it in 2010. Yeah. So since they've expanded, we haven't had a team go undefeated in conference play. So part of it, I think, is 9 conference games. Part of it is that it is just hard to, you know, you look at, and all the coaches will say this, right? And I don't think it's coach speak. When you are playing in this conference, there are so many different teams that can beat you in different ways. And if you don't bring it every single week, and injuries play a role into it. And there's so much that goes into being able to win on any given Saturday. And so with all those variables, I just think and the 9 conference games, that's one of the reasons that we haven't seen a team do it. I feel like I really like this Oregon squad. Obviously, they're ranked 3 in the country. It's easy to say that. That's not any major insight. But I really think that they have, especially if Kayvon Thibodeau can be back and be 100%, and Anthony Brown continues to take steps forward. I mean, I've been so impressed with what he's been able to do, and I know they're excited about Ty Thompson, and maybe they'll see some packages for him. But I would not be surprised if Oregon was finally able to do it and you know, end that drought. But it is, you know, the conference slate is full of landmines. There's a reason that nobody's done it in quite a while.
Ashley, before I cut you loose, Chip Kelly, UCLA against David Shaw, Stanford. I cannot wait for this game this weekend. I think it's the most intriguing game. What do you make of that matchup?
Oh, I'm so excited for this. Yogi Roth, our good friend, has been like juiced all week long because he gets to call this one with Ted Robinson. It's on our air at 3:00. But I just think that it is, we're going to learn a lot about both of these teams, honestly. I think there was so much excitement, rightfully so, about UCLA. You know, we were talking about these teams very differently a couple of weeks ago. And when UCLA beat LSU and they were, you know, they're ranked 24 in the country, they had that devastating loss thanks to like an all-time legendary performance by Jay Kaner last week. But I think we'll know a lot more about both of these squads coming out of this game. And this game means a lot to both of them for a variety of reasons. I really think Stanford, you know, everyone sort of wrote them off after that Kansas State loss. And I think this is a team that, you know, they've got some issues at running back depth this week, but I think this is a squad that I understand why David Shaw was excited about this group as he was when I was down there in fall camp. He's, I think, feels like he's got a great mix of young talent, veteran leadership, and the big question mark was the quarterback. And Tanner McKee, through the two starts that he's had, has no doubt looked the part. So I think it's going to be a great chess match. It's two coaches who really admire and respect each other. You just hear what they Chip Kelly and David Shaw say about each other, and you know they kind of see the game the same way. So looking forward to that one. I think there's going to be a lot of good games as there always is, but that one I think is probably the one that everybody's got circled on the calendar.
Ashley, look forward to seeing you when you're at Oregon State later in the year, and appreciate the work you're doing. And of course, our audience will watch you from Salt Lake City on Saturday. Thank you for joining us, Ashley Adamson, Pac-12 Network.
Appreciate it, John. Thanks so much.
There she is, Pac-12 Network reporter, anchor. She'll be alongside Nick Aliotti and Nigel Burton as part of the Pac-12 Network's coverage on Saturday. Leave it here. You get the BFT. Great show today. Ashley Adamson, Pac-12 Network, joined us. If you missed that, grab the podcast of that interview. Also, earlier in the show, we talked to a terrific reporter with USCFootball.com who gave us the lowdown on the USC season, which was pretty much a shoulder shrug. You know what I mean? I don't blame the reporter for that. Like, I think she's being earnest and just saying, look, it's hard to predict what USC is going to do on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. And I have to be honest, like, you know, I don't feel like I've stuck my neck out very far picking Oregon State to beat USC. Like, on paper, people are going, this hasn't happened at USC since 1960. What are you talking about? How is this Jonathan Smith's team? They're 2-1. They lost at Purdue. You're going to pick them. Is Purdue better than USC? I'm getting a lot of that. But I do think Chance Nolan and Oregon State are, if you know, there's such a thing as a waxing or waning moon, as you say, is the moon waxing or is it waning? Like, is it getting bigger or is it getting smaller? Tomorrow we're going to have a bigger moon, a smaller moon. Oregon State is waxing if it's a moon. USC is waning. And so I do think these two things are converging in Los Angeles tomorrow in such a way that I'm getting a lot of people who heard about my prediction, who know USC football, who are texting me and messaging me going, I see what you see. I think USC is vulnerable. I also think Oregon State is going to show up to play. Be really curious, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Is USC going to out-athlete Oregon State, or are the Beavers ready to contend? Well, we'll figure that out. We won't know that until Saturday night at 7:30. For NFL people who love the NFL, I'm going to create something on this Friday segment that is on this Friday show that we'll try to do as a regular installment throughout the NFL season. You guys know how they have those pools where you have to pick a winning team every week. No point spread, just pick a winner.
Yeah, the Eliminator Challenge.
Yes.
Right.
I want the three of us to do an Eliminator Challenge.
Yeah. We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.